Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we realize that our song concerning your presence is not a lie. It is not something that is vain. It is not something that we have conjured up in our own understanding any more than the Apostle Paul did. We recognize reality, and as we recognize your presence, we recognize also the fact as you appeared to Moses, as literally in a flash, and revealed yourself. And it was thus the same with the Apostle Paul. It was thus the same with Brother Branham. And we're not asking to be in their stead, but we are asking, Lord, that your same power of revelation be granted us tonight, Lord, because we know that we have with us, even within ourselves, the greatest enemy of all, and that is the mind, which cannot be subject to God on the grounds it is not a part of God, but we know that it can be subject, Lord, by the Holy Spirit. And we would yield to him tonight, that you really help us as the teacher who is the teacher, and guide us aright that we might not make any mistakes, giving anyone a false hope or taking away from that which is true in any way, shape, or form. Because, Lord, we know without you we cannot survive. There is nothing we can do or think that is of us, Lord. You certainly put us in a place like a straitjacket, and yet it's for our own good, because if we can put our hands, self, in your hands tonight, speaking concerning revelation, that which is contingent to it, we know we're in the safest place in the world. We're safe in the rock, and that's what we desire tonight. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I guess I'm kind of high here with this, a bit of echo, but we'll just let you adjust that as we go along. Now, I've got a question tonight here, and a brother writes me this letter, and he said, I am one who recently, by the grace of God, has had the opportunity to hear the ministry of God's true word in the message. I was wondering if I could possibly solicit your advice on a topic which has been troubling me. Since this initial exposure, I have found that something has really ignited within me, and find that I have an insatiable desire for the Word. You see, that alone would let you know the brother definitely has the Holy Spirit, because that's the evidence. Now, this is something he doesn't really realize. You'll see as we go along here. But you just follow with me, and we'll see what we come to, which is going to be a very difficult situation. I'm going to read a lot, and we're just going to see how the Lord will help us. I now feel that I have been saved, but I find myself longing for more. I have tried to read as much of Brother Branham's books as I've been able to get a hold of. In the course of this pursuit, I've read on many occasions where he stated that the natural course of salvation occurs in three following steps. Repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and receive the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, in the course of my studies, I've listened to Brother Branham's Seven Seal series, and believe it, and the rest of his ministry with all my heart as the truth. But I'm somewhat puzzled at the Seven Seal message. In seeking to find out more about this mysterious seal in the half-hour silence which followed, which Brother Branham himself was under and unable to elaborate on, I've listened to some recent tapes put out by some various preachers in today's message. I found that within the message today there appears to be a split in some of the fundamental teachings. Mostly in particular is the fact that some feel that 1963 marked a dispensational change which precipitated the coming peruse of the Lord. This meaning that the church is now in the rapture cycle, and that the Holy Spirit presence has been replaced by God the Father's presence, Logos, which occurs before we meet Jesus in the air at the time of the rapture. On the other hand, other ministries state that we shall meet the Lord in the air, and there is no dispensation change before this occurrence. Therefore, my question is such that in my search for the truth, I was wondering what your stand is on the matter as one who knew Brother Branham personally. In my own personal life, as I stated earlier, I feel as though I've been saved but have not reached the ceiling spoken of by Brother Branham. If, in fact, there has been this dispensational change whereby we've entered a new relationship with God the Father in the soul-to-soul context, then what are the signs, if any, that God has received our sacrifice? I'm told that under this new revelation, this relationship, intercessions by the Holy Spirit are replaced by direct communications outlined in Romans 8:15 under the spirit of adoption of God's elect. This being the case, as Brother Branham's earlier statements about receiving the Holy Spirit in lieu of God's acknowledging and sealing his elected son or daughter changed in regards to this new relationship. And if so, what are the signs and or manifestations of the course of salvation under this spiritual parousia? Now, there are many thoughts in there. You can see that he has read a lot of Brother Branham's sermons, and at the same time, he must have had some fundamental teaching, on the other hand, that gets in his way of understanding some of the things that he is anxious to learn about. Plus the fact, in his anxiety, no doubt he's trying to find various ministers who teach what Brother Branham teaches and try to get their understanding of the revelation that God gave to Brother Branham. And of course, this is all right, but it can also lead to difficulties because one person will say one thing and one and another. Now, to begin with, concerning my personal relationship to Brother Branham, let me assure you what he's asking about in this particular question, or these questions, I did not have any contact with Brother Branham as to go through these particular questions that he has in mind and get an answer from Brother Branham, apart from the seven seals themselves and the other sermons which he preached even before or after that particular series. Now, it is true that Brother Branham does seem to leave us in a sort of limbo based upon his own inability to give us a definitive understanding of the seventh seal when he preached it to us back in 1963. But according to other messages which Brother Branham brought to us, we find that the questions that he did not answer in the definitive, as we wanted the more definitive or the greatest depth in answer, he actually did answer down the road in questions and answers, or he brought it out in the various messages which he preached later on. Because you'll notice that Brother Branham particularly put under the seventh seal the sermon that he waited so long to preach, and even that did not seem to do us a great deal of good, unless, of course, you had been married and divorced and remarried, and then left you in a limbo also, in my understanding, because I've never got to the bottom of it in the most definitive manner I would like, except to just say, hey, I'll take you to the Bible back and forth where he took you, and you'll have to sit there because I'm not a prophet and can't direct you further. But he put that message of marriage and divorce under the seventh seal, as well as in his last series in Jeffersonville when he brought out the Sermon on Melchizedek, which we found to be absolutely in a depth of revelation that no other person had could possibly bring to our attention, because it was something that only Brother Branham could bring us, being designated as to actually who he was. Now, what I'm going to do, and I hope I don't read too fast, and we're going to have time to finish this tonight, is to read out of the seventh seal, and I will not be doing what I would like to do, which is to take literally every single sentence and to number it and to weave it back and forth to see just what we can get out of it. But since the brother's question is the seventh seal, and he feels perturbed that Brother Branham under the seventh seal was not able to express himself as to the definitive revelation, and others have brought him other teachings on the subject, he's wondering just what has happened and what is happening and what is going to happen according to what era or what stage he calls it, the dispensation in which we are in. First of all, I do believe he's a fundamentalist because he uses the term dispensation. That is a term that Brother Branham did not use as people use it. If you go to dispensations under men like Schofield, you'll find innocence and conscience and human government and law and grace and so on. But Brother Branham never expressed that. He was not a dispensationalist. Brother Branham used the term dispensation once in a while concerning the Godhead as to the major role of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, where God Himself was revealing Himself and operating in that particular area at that particular time. So when we use the word dispensation, we cannot use it as the fundamentalist used it. If we wish to say something like a dispensation of grace, something dispensed to me, we could do that. But in the understanding, as I have seen Brother Branham, he was not a dispensationalist. And of course, that is the only way you can truly study the Scripture. I know dispensations seem to make it easy for people, but it is not the way the Scripture must be handled. Now, Brother Branham in the Seventh Seal, on page 536, now the 8th chapter only reveals a scene. The scene of the seventh seal where nothing else is revealed. In other words, it's in heaven, and that's what you're looking at, and nothing is mentioned. Now, it has nothing to do with the seventh chapter of Revelation. It's the revelation of the seventh seal is perfectly mute. And if I only had time, I'll try a few places to show you all the way back from Genesis, this seventh chapter. This seventh seal is spoken of from the beginning in Genesis, this seventh. These seals moving right up. Now, it might be wise to just go back and see why he is saying this. If there's anything, we might find something, I don't know. In the seventh chapter, you'll notice in chapter 6, the first seal, the second seal, the third seal, the fourth seal, the fifth seal, the sixth seal. And then the seventh seal does not appear in the seventh chapter because there is an interpolation. Brother Branham is telling you the seventh seal doesn't have one thing to do with the seventh chapter. The seventh chapter is the numbering of Israel, and he speaks a long time on it and brings out many, many things that are very pertinent before he even goes on to the seventh seal, all the while telling you the seventh seal has nothing to do with the seventh chapter. Now, that's where man put his fingers in. I guess God allowed it. God even could have been behind it. But the whole Bible has never been in chapters and verses. It started out in chapters and verses by a very clever Roman Catholic priest who was making his rounds riding on horse. And he found out very difficult to read the Bible, so he began marking it off in divisions. And, of course, these divisions then have been later on taken up by the Protestants, where men like Scofield began making divisions they should not have made divisions with. And then you find a lot of interpolations that they didn't explain. And say, leave out the interpolation and get the sense. So by the time you have where the prophets are revealing the things of God, a mystery, and yet containing a mystery, even then they're revealed, and you've got man putting his hand in and messing it up, my, you've got a mess on your hands like heaven knows what. So, all right. This seventh chapter, though, is very much an interpolation. And what you could do, you could just rip it out of your Bible as concerning the seven seals as to their chronology and their revelation at this end time. Now, Brother Branham did some mighty fine revealing on this. But hey, that's down the road. Nothing to do with us. That's Israel. So you could say then, as far as the Gentiles concerned, you just delete chapter 7. And then it says here under that great sixth seal, which is the great tribulation, verse 17, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? And when he'd opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. So that's all you have to read about, is the seventh seal is that one little tiny verse, and it doesn't tell you anything except there was silence. It is the revelation of the seventh seal. It's perfectly new. Now he says, I'll try a few places to show you all the way back from Genesis, this seventh chapter. And then he said, this seventh seal is spoken of. Now, the seventh seal has nothing to do with the seventh chapter, so why talk about it? You see what I'm trying to tell you? So he's not saying here then, in my understanding, I'm going to take you back and go through the Old Testament on the seventh chapter, because that's not what we're looking at. I'm not here to discuss it, except I'm telling you about it. Remember, he tried to preach on the trumpets. He was going to do it, and God says, no way. They don't belong to you. So he preached on the Feast of the Trumpets, which has much to do with us. Great information. But on the trumpets themselves, no. That's under the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah. The two other prophets, that's a different period entirely. So you leave it alone. If it's none of your business, it's none of your business. You know, much learning doesn't make us mad. A lot of people want to know too much. That's why these guys in Europe are so messed up. Oh, Brother Branham didn't preach this. He didn't preach that. Oh, my, I see this. I see that. Brother Branham, forget it, Dumkopf. Shut up and sit down. And I mean it. You're trying to put in two or three recipes to the cookie batch. First thing you're going to pour in some cement, and then watch it break your teeth out. Well, you made your cookies, eat them, break your teeth out. Make your fruit out of sour grapes, set your teeth on edge. See what I'm trying to tell you? If the prophet speaks, and if he doesn't speak, keep your nose out. Don't pretend you know something. That's where I get all the trouble in the world, see? I don't pretend to any. I just try to go to the prophet. Now, he said the seventh seal. That's what he wants to talk about. He said, I can take it back there. I can take it back to the seventh seal. He said, and show you in the Bible, right in Genesis. But the seventh seal is a book of silence on mysteries. Okay, tell me. Give me the mystery of the serpent. All you can do is guess. All I know is a beast that had intercourse with Eve. Oh, do you? Maybe it was an apricot. See what I'm trying to tell you? All right, the seed of the woman. Go ahead, tell me. You can't do it. You say, Brother Dale, I can because I heard the prophet. Yes, that's right. You can because you heard the prophet. But what if you hadn't heard the prophet vindicated? There's lots of things in Scripture that are absolute silence. Unless God chooses to do something about it. The seed of the woman. So, all right, Isaiah said a virgin. He did not. He said a young woman. Go and look in your Bible. And Brother Branham quickly said, every man wanted his daughter to be that one. Oh, it would take a man for his daughter. Because they didn't believe in the heathen concept of the gods coming down and having intercourse with women and bringing demigods into the world. They said, forget it. That's heathenism. We don't go for that tripe. So the angel came on the scene. He said, Mary, you're chosen to have a baby by divine intervention. Mysteries. Mystery, the silence of the seventh seal. So, okay, Brother Branham said, I'll take it back. Now, I'm literally telling you, I'm guessing. Based on what Brother Branham taught, and I know what he taught, not saying as I know finally as nobody else knows, but I know what he taught. I'm literally standing here believing I know what was in his mind. Because he said the prophet that comes in the time of the latter rain will be the prophet of the former rain, the same original teaching, and he will sow the seeds of the entire Bible from the serpent to that prophet as he himself standing there. Okay, I have to talk about these things. I can see three sessions if we don't get moving. Could you remember this morning bringing these things up and wash tonight bringing them up, and you will find out when it gets to the seventh seal she cuts off. Jesus Christ is speaking himself, told her the end time when he got all six seals. Now that's back in Matthew 24. When he got to the seventh, he stopped. There it is. See, it's a great thing. Now it's a great thing. That's under that seventh seal of silence. Okay. Now he's going to go back to the beginning. When the first went forth, the first beast was a lion. That was a prophet, word. The next went forth, the work, sacrifice. The fourth, the cunningness of man. You see, it was the ox and then the face of the man. But we are promised in the last days that to return to the church again for the benefit of straightening up all that has been misled, misundone, that means left undone. For it's predicted here that the seventh angel's message would finish the mysteries of God, and then we went through it all, and we see that it's perfectly in the harmony of Scripture. That's the reason. What's the reason? What are you talking about? Under the seventh seal of silence, it's going to take a prophet to go back to the beginning. Because if the word came by a prophet, and there's something in this book that needs attention, it's going to take the same anointing of another prophet to get it. So he tells you, hey, this is a blank. This is a silence. Who can know it? Oh, God, send a prophet. Isn't that exactly what you need? Oh, they say, well, it's an educated man. It's this guy. It's that guy. Oh, shut up. Who wrote the Bible? Prophets. Who understands his book better than the author? Nobody. Bring on the prophets. Say, bless God, I'm my own prophet. I know that, honey. I've watched you. 22 years old when I knew it would take a prophet to open the book. I waited until 1963 to see the culmination. In 1963, I was, 49 years old. 7 sevens rings pretty good, doesn't it? So I'm kidding you, because you see, sevens are perfect numbers. And I'm putting myself in a seven just to kid you, see if you can see through my little ruse here. No, it's nothing, because 7 times 7 makes me anything. I just like to kid a bit. They went through it all. Okay. Now, there's only one person could fulfill that. Only one spirit that's ever been on earth that I know would either be, would have to be Elijah in his time, and it was predicted that it would be, which is nothing but the Spirit of Christ. Because that's the spirit of prophecy. Which Christ come, he was the fullness, he was the prophet, he was the God of the prophets. Now notice, called in perfect harmony with the Scriptures of Daniel's last 3.5 years. Notice, Israel's believers only are told in the Old Testament to believe their prophets after the prophet has been vindicated. That's Deuteronomy 18. If there be anyone among you spiritual prophet, I, the Lord thy God, will make myself known unto him and speak to him in visions and dreams through the interpretation of dreams. I got to jump around here. Don't mind me. Now, notice, but when the seals were announced, they were all in one great divine thing to call out a group of people. Who said so? Prophet said so. Well, bless God, I can read. I take my opinion's different. Well, have your opinion. Who cares? You don't even know tomorrow morning you're going to wake up, let alone produce an event down the road by the power of God. People are so stupid, yet they think they're so smart. Listen, the devil sealed up the sum of wisdom and beauty. And he's a far-flush and rotten, lousy crook. So that's what you want? You want to be smart? Be my guest. I'm not old old Dumbo Vale up here. No problem. I would to God I could get my brains plumb out of the way. See? Call out a group. Okay, let's go over here now. Now he said we'll turn to the first verse of the 8th chapter. I know you're tired. Just listen a few minutes. And the God of heaven help us is my prayer. We must remember that this seventh seal is the end of time of all things. We must remember that the seventh seal is the end of time of all things. Who said so? Who Where do you find that in the Bible? The only place is Revelation 10 and 7. So 10 and 7 must be the seventh seal, right? Well, come on. You give me a scripture. The prophet is teaching the Bible. He tells you flat it's Elijah, which is the Spirit of Christ. The Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Not a man, God, but it comes by a prophet. By a man which a prophet. When you see God descend from the heavens, stand before groups of men and declare himself as ever he did. If you don't believe that, fine. Have fun. Remember, there's something down the road and I'm going to meet you there. And you're going to meet me there too, so it works both ways. The seventh seal is the end of time of all things. The end of time of all things. That's right. The things written in the seventh sealed book, sealed up of the plan of redemption before the foundation of the world, it every bit ends. It is the end. It's the end of the struggling world, the end of struggling nature. It's the end of everything. In there's the end of the trumpets, in the end of the vials, the end of the earth. It's even end of time. Time runs out. The Bible said so, and that's after the millennium. Seventh seal. Now he said so. Matthew 7, Revelation 10th chapter, 7th verse. Time runs out. Angels, and there it is. Time will be no more. That when in the days of this great thing to happen, everything runs out in this time. The end of the seventh seal. Now on what authority does he say it? Thus saith the Lord, never having failed. And if you can't trust that, you can't trust anything. And if you trust anything different, you're going to die with your trust. Let's keep going. Notice it's the end of the church age. Who said so? You know the end of the church age? Well, he's getting pretty close anyway. I can take that by scripture myself and make a pretty good case of it, I guess. I suppose, I don't know. I'm not too good at making any case. But he says here in verse 25 of the 11th chapter, wouldn't I have you ignorant, that you should be, brethren, you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Not the times of the Gentiles, the fullness. The bride is completely made up. Israel will be back in the homeland, and according to Paul, the resurrection must and will take place. Now, if there's only seven seals and it makes completion, the seventh seal has got to occur at this time. Because it's run out. There's nothing left. Mysteries are gone. So therefore, Revelation 10 and 7 is the seventh seal. In particular, but Brother Branham went further, being a prophet, he's 100% right, Revelation 10, 1 to 7 is the seventh seal. Because the mighty one that comes down does it all with the prophet standing there. It's only in the days of the voice of the prophet, because God does not have his own voice. When the Lord descends with a shout, the Greek absolutely shows it is not necessarily, and it is not the voice of the one descending. It is the one that is already here. All right. It's the end of the church age. It's the end of the seventh seal. It's the end of the trumpets, the end of the vials, even the ushering into the millennium. That's on the seventh seal. Now listen, it's just like firing a rocket, a Roman candle in the air. That rocket explodes. Here it goes up, explodes again, puts up five stars. One of those stars explodes, blows up five more stars. And one of the stars explodes, blows up five more stars. And then it fades on out. That's the seventh seal. It just ends the time of the world. It ends the time for this. It ends the time for that. It ends the time for this. It ends, everything ends up with the seventh seal. Now, how is he going to do it? That's what we don't know, isn't it? We don't know. It's even time for all these things and the ushering in the millennium. Notice the breaking of this seal was so great that heaven was hushed by in silence for the space of half an hour. Now is it great? What is it? It was hushed, heaven. Wasn't the thing moved for half an hour? Now, a half hour might not be long if you're having a good time. But in the suspense of between death and life, it seemed like a millennium. That's what's happening right now. Believe me, the people can't take it. The kids can't take it. Too many wild hormones. Some of you get offended because we talk about it. But the Bible said it's a shame to speak of those things which are done in secret. But when you do it in your own house and out there in the street and all, it's no longer a shame to speak of it. You'd better talk about it and do something about it. You might be happy having your kids mess around, not sitting down and telling the truth and letting them know the truth. But I'm going to tell you, now that AIDS, they've got the same consequence of AIDS, they can't even find the virus. That kid come home messing around. You'll die with those AIDS because you didn't put your house in order. So I believe, Brother Vale, 1,000 fall, molest 10,000, right, I'll be all right. Listen, you may be a Kentucky Colonel and eat your chicken, but that's not the word of God. I've got scripture that says, you love self, God will take you out of this world. Brother Brand said that something's got to take you out of this world. What's going to take you out of it? All right. A long time. Oh, too long to wait. I can't wait. Huh? You got to wait. What are you going to do about it? I'm going to leave it. That's like the guy said, go down to the ocean. Poke your finger in the ocean and pull it out and see how big a hole you left. You think you can get God upset? I got news for you. God never gets upset. There's nothing to get upset about. He's in perfect charge. Now listen. When it's between life and death, it might seem like 1,000 years. It was so great, Jesus never mentioned it. None of the rest of them. John couldn't even write of it. It was forbidden to write here. See? Just didn't write. Just silence. 24 elders that stood before God, they're harping with their harps. Quit playing their harps. Angels hushed their singing. Think. Holy cherubim, seraphim that Isaiah saw in the temple with 6 sets of wings, 2 over the face, so on. It's crying, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, and so on. Just shut up. No angel singing, no praise, no altar service, no nothing. No altar service, nothing. Part of this last one in child's ring. There was silence, hushed deadly silence in heaven for 30 minutes. All the hosts of heaven were silent for 30 minutes. When the 7th seal mystery in the book of redemption broken open. Think of it, but it's broken. People tell you it wasn't open, wasn't broken. What about it? You know what a sealed book is like? Here you. You take this, you roll it up like this, and you put seal 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now, if the 7th seal is still hanging there, it's still sealed, right? Yeah, come on, come on, come on. People don't want to be the prophet. They want their own ideas. Everybody have their own ideas. Who gives you it? I try to do my best, but what can I do? The Lamb breaks it. You know what? They were awed by it, I believe. They didn't know. There it was. They just stopped. Why? What was it? Now, none of us know, but I'm going to tell you my revelation of it. And now I'm not prone to be a fanatic. If I am, I'm ignorant of it. See, I'm not given to delirious carryings on, imaginary things. I have said some things that might have been kind of strange to some people. When God comes around behind it and vindicates it and says, it's the truth, then that's God's word. It may seem strange that way. He's letting you know, hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something, but you better believe I got it from God. Kind of what he calls throwing the old curve. Well, I see Brother Branham didn't really know. So now nobody knows. Keep reading. Now, as I stand on this platform tonight, I had the revelation that revealed it's in a threefold manner. Well, hey, hold it just a minute. He knows he's there. I was there. I knew he was there. I knew I was there. Don't try to kid me. I wasn't there because I wasn't. I got witnesses. I can even tell you where I stayed. Who stayed with me? One man's dead, 2 are living. Get the tapes. You'll hear my name on it. I was there. Then this is a revelation. No problem. He's going to give you the real McCoy. Right from God. And I'll speak of it by the help of God. Let's go over there first. Here's a revelation again. I want to tell you what it is. What happens is that those seven thunders that he heard, thunder, and was forbidden to write, that's what the mystery is laying behind those 7 consecutive thunders rolling out. Now, what is he talking about? the seventh seal. Now he's up to Revelation 10 and 1. I mean 10 and 4. Seal up those things. So, all right. We got the seventh seal, then from verse 7 up to verse 4. Now, if that's the case, then the one in verse 1 that came down and did the talking makes the seventh seal all the way Revelation 10, 1 to 7. And then there's the seven thunders. Now, let's prove it. It's a secret that no one knows about. John was forbidden to write about it, even write a symbol about it. Why? This is why. There was no activity in heaven. It might give away the secret. You see it now. It's so great, it must be included because it's got to happen. It's got to be there. It's got to happen. But it's put under wraps. It was already written in the book. It can't be something further to be written because it's already written in the books. Thy word, O God, forever settled in heaven. It was there. But the rapture put on it. This is the same thing that happened to Daniel. I am putting wraps on it, said God, because it's for a future time. And at the right time, you'll get to know it. Now notice, when the seven angels came forth to sound their trumpets, there was one thunder. When Israel gathered, there was a trumpet. But when time shall be no more, the last trumpet. One thunder. But here are seven straight thunders in a row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now why? If Satan should get a hold of it, he might do great damage. There's one thing he don't know. Now he can interpret anything he wants to and impersonate any kind of a gift. I hope you're learning. But he can't know this. Now he can impersonate any kind of a gift, except he cannot have what vindicates the prophet to the people. Otherwise, the false prophet is equal to the true prophet, and God is no longer the tree of life. He's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God cannot vindicate a bum steer at the same time he vindicates a true steer. No, he can't vindicate a lie the same time he vindicates the truth. He can only vindicate that which is no word or one iota off. And that happens before it's spoken. So, okay, don't let a gift get in your way now. Remember, Brother Branham started way back before anybody did. See? But he can't know this. It's not even written in the Word. It's a total secret. Now, what does it mean it's not written in the Word? It's not written any place in the Word where you can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And it explicitly talks about this. But it's got to be in the Word somewhere. Otherwise, you're adding or taking. Now, Brother Branham absolutely said that after he preached the seven seals. So don't talk to me about it. I know what I'm talking about. It's a total secret. The angels, everything shut up. If they made one move, it might give something away. So they just shut up, quit harping. Everything stopped. Seven, God's perfect number. Right down the row, seven thunders uttered straight together like they were spelling out something. Notice at that time, John started to write. He said, don't write it. Jesus never spoke it. John couldn't write it. The angels knew nothing about it. What is it? It's the thing that Jesus said even angels heaven didn't know about it. See, he didn't know it himself. He said only God would know. But he told us, when we begin to see these signs coming up, now you're getting somewhere. All right, notice. We begin to see these signs coming up. See if Satan could get a hold of it. Now he's telling you right there, there's signs leading to it. If you can get a hold of the signs, you'll know automatically what it is. And he said, the thing that Jesus didn't talk about was the hour of him coming, which only the Father knew, nobody else knew. He took you right back to Matthew 24 on that. He faltered and stumbled from his notes. He didn't get the verses 100% correct on his delineation. But remember, other men have seen the same thing. Those same division of scriptures where you could see the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 seals, but coming to 7, nothing was said. And that's the hour of the coming. Put that any way you want to do it. If you want something to happen, now notice, you want something to happen, now you'll have to take my word for this. If I'm planning on doing something, I know better than tell anybody about it. Not that that person will tell it, but Satan will hear it. See, he can't get into my heart there as long as God's got it closed up with the Holy Spirit. So it's between me and God, see. He doesn't know a thing about it until you speak it, then he hears it. And I'll tell people I'll do a certain thing, and watch the devil to cut off every wheel he can get there, see, to beat me to it. But if I can get the revelation from God and just say nothing about it, then it's different. Remember, Satan will try to impersonate. He'll try to impersonate everything that the church will do. He tried to do it. We've noticed it through the Antichrist. This is one thing he cannot impersonate. Well, now come on, let's go right back to where there's one thing the devil simply can't do. He cannot stand as God when it comes to Almighty God giving His Word in the channels that God gives it. Because God Himself vindicates and manifests Himself to the prophet. The prophet is manifested and vindicated to the people. Then the vindicated Word comes, and there is no way it can be any other way. This is something the devil cannot do. And Brother Branham tells you, he cannot handle the Word of God. Oh, but you say he does handle the Word of God. The prophet Paul said so. He makes himself a means of light. But he's a liar in doing it. He hasn't got a proof. Paul the Apostle, I showed you scripture after scripture where the man stood there vindicated and said, prove that I'm not vindicated. Stood there. You call a guy's bluff, you better have something to call it with. Boy, say, but I'd love to see Brother Branham that time up there in Chicago. Some of those men come forward and carried out feet first. Why? We don't need anybody carried out feet first. We need people standing here going up. It's been vindicated. Who cares about anybody falling dead? Fat. They're going to fall dead anyway. Now, if they'd have come forward, as Brother Branham said, I think might be on the tape. No, it's not. It can't be on the tape. He told me, he said, on the tape, he says, you're smarter than I thought you were. And he said, at least see, they were smarter than I figured they were. He said, the first man that would have come forward, they'd have carried him up feet first. I don't think you'll find that on the tape. No, he told me that privately. See? Okay. He can't impersonate. There'll be no mimics to this, see, because he doesn't know. Now, what is there a mimic to? There's a mimic to the false ones that are anointed with the genuine Holy Spirit as pertaining to the giving of gifts, but not to the giving of the definitive passive revelation, the passive faith, where God reveals Himself. No way! See, that makes all the difference between righteousness and unrighteous. Now, there's no way for him to know it. It's the third pull. He just knows nothing about it. See, he doesn't understand it. But there's a secret lays beneath that. Glory to God in the highest. I could never think the same the rest of my life when I saw that. Now I don't know. What? I know the next step there, but I don't know how to interpret that. It won't be long. I've got it written down here. When it happened, if you can see, here it says stop. Go no further than this right here. I'm not prone to be a fanatic, just telling the truth. But you remember the little, now watch this, the little shoe that I always tried to explain, how the soul lay next to so-and-so, an inner conscience and all that kind of stuff, which it made only a big bunch of impersonation start after. Now that's the vision, which is 100% spiritual, where he was casting in, and the angel said, now, cast in, and you pull your lures just a little bit, and that'll get the little fish coming, but don't hook them. That's the teaser. And when the big one hooks it, you did it. You do it. And Brother Branham threw the line, and the Pentecostal preachers, oh, come on, Brother Branham, you know how to fish. Come on, there, boy, show us how to do it. Oh, I could show. He got real puffed up. He made a circus out of it, threw it in, and the little old fish came. He gave a jerk, and the fish barely covered the lure. And what was the spiritual interpretation? You cannot teach Pentecostal babies doctrine. Now, when you come to the soul, the spirit, and these things that are uniquely wound up in the ministry that Brother Branham had, even going to Melchizedek, you can't teach them anything. And that goes for a lot of Branhamites right now, too. No mention names, doesn't need to. See, now he's telling you right here in that particular vision how you'd have to take up the hand, hold the people, and have vibration. Everyone had a vibration in their hands. But do you remember when he took me up there and said, this is that third pole, no one will know it? Do you remember that? Visions would never fail, they're perfectly true. What's he talking about, took me up there? Well, he was up there and his feet were trying to get on down, and he was trying to get on down to that particular room, that particular building. Even at the time of the seventh seal, as my memory is correct, he said all the visions had been fulfilled for that one, and maybe that was fulfilled also, he didn't know it. Now, I'm not going to try to give you an interpretation here, but the fact of the matter is, he said he was caught up with those angels. I want to know, was he or wasn't he? Now, you're trying to teach Pentecostal babies doctrine it won't take. Now, he's come caught up and he wants to get down here, and that's the third pull. Let's learn a little later what the third pull is all about. There's three kinds. There's three levels in this. I'm just looking at the picture. I'm not saying Leville's got the perfect understanding. I just want to look at it. You remember that visions never failed. They're perfectly the truth. Now notice, remember the vision of the constellation, Charlie. Here you are, something going on. I told you this week that you've been all around you. What vision of what constellation? Constellation of angels. Now, is William Branham so gross in his understanding of English and preaching a sermon that he cannot preach in continuity? In one place he said, oh, look at the beautiful giraffes and the zebras and the lions out there. And suddenly, without you knowing, he's even changed his position. He's no longer talking about those things, but he's talking about something with feathers. And he's, feathers? My God, I never saw a zebra with feathers. Do you understand what I'm talking about? If he's talking about this here in this paragraph, and he's talking of this particular thing, has he changed his point of view? Not in my books, he hasn't. Or he merely compounds the mystery. How can he make clear to me when he throws mud in my eye? Look, I am not so spiritual, and neither are you so spiritual, that suddenly we can understand everything as though, hallelujah, we didn't have to hear, and it doesn't come by the mind. I can prove to you, and I'll do by tomorrow morning, it's got to come by your mind before it gets down here in your heart. Because the prophet said so. Oh, Lee Dale gets criticized. He's mental. I wouldn't be in those boots for $1 billion. Those other guys, what are they? They sit back. Going to get some love. I was in Pentecost. Don't give me that nonsense. You're talking to an old-timer, bless God. See, I've got a vehemence and a vengeance none of you have. Because I was being crooked and destroyed. You can have it if you want it. Let me tell you something. Going to bed starving and dreaming you are eating will not fill your guts. So dream on, little children, if you want to dream. And fill your sky with pie that doesn't exist. He said, this is the third pull, and no one will even know it. And visions never fail. He said, the vision of the constellation, something going on, has been all around you. I wonder you noticed it. Remember the constellation, the vision of angels I had before I went to Arizona? Do you remember that? What time was this earth? Do you remember that? This is it. Notice, there was only one great burst of thunder, and seven angels appeared. Is that right? One burst of thunder. Isn't that what he said? One burst and seven seals. Seven messengers bringing seven messages on seven seals. Every mystery going to be revealed. Now what about the mystery of silence? It's no longer silent. The revelation. Only one verse thunder, the angels appeared. And I saw the Lamb when he opened the first seal, and heard it was a voice of thunder. One of the four beasts said, come and see. And another thunder. Even seven messages that's been sealed up and cannot be revealed until the last day of this age. See what I mean? Now, if only six seals were open, there's only six messages. It says seven. Now, that you've noticed the mysterious, have you noticed the mysterious part of the week? That's what it is. That's what it's been. It's been not a human being, a man. It's been the angels of the Lord. Aha! Bringing seven messages. And what did he say the first message? He said, oh, what a mistake I would have made, but the Holy Spirit came into the room. So you've got the embodiment of the Holy Ghost in the form of angels. And that is not improper, because Jesus himself at one time was Michael. Let your thinking go. Come on. Dead fundamental junk. It's been the angels of the Lord. Notice there's witness of three sitting here that over a week ago. I was up way back in the mountain, nearly into Mexico, two brethren. Now, in this last only believe, we haven't got enough for everyone to get it. Take them. There's about 8 or 9 copies. Take a copy, bring it back. In there you will find where Brother Norman gives his story of that particular time. It's worth you to read it. And you'll find all this talk of what's supposed to happen in Dayton here, of where the dates are not correct, you will find that Brother Norman agrees with Brother Branham. So, we went to that some time ago. I was back in the mountain nearly to Mexico with two brethren that are sitting here picking cockleburrs or sand burr off my trouser leg, and a blast went off that almost like shook them out. Now, Gene Norman will tell you about that. Now, that's right. I never told my brethren, but they noticed the difference. And he said to me, now be ready and go east. Here's the interpretation of that vision. See, now let you know Brother Soffman has not got the game to do it after. We were trying to get it for him, and he said, now tonight for a sign for you, he isn't going to do it. You must consecrate yourself at this time for the visitation of these angels. And I felt beside myself, you remember, and I was in the west, the angels coming from the east. And as they came by, I was picked up with them. Do you remember that coming east? And Brother Fred is here tonight as a witness. And Brother Norman, as he went down, I almost persuaded that man to stay and get his game. Is that right, Brother Soffman? Yes, there he stands right there. I persuaded, but yet he said he won't do it. I never said anything. Went on. Something sitting by the side of the tent that day. You remember, Brother Soffman. About as soon as some things were being told, I put you and Brother Norman. Where's Brother Norman? Back there. Put them under oath that they wouldn't mention what was taking place. Is that right? Did I turn around and walk away from that tent like that? Is that right? Because that is what it was, exactly what it was. And knowing that I couldn't say it until it happened, always after the fact. So what's Brother Branham telling you about the seventh seal after the fact? It's not before the fact, it's after. Notice, and did you notice that one angel I said was in there, that strange angel? He looked more to me than the rest of them. Do you remember that? They were in a constellation, three on one side and one on the top, and the one right next to me here, coming from the left to the right, would have been the seventh angel for the seventh seal. He was brighter, meant more to me than the rest of them. You remember I said he had his chest out like that and was flying eastward. Do you remember? Do you remember like that? I said he picked me up. It picked me up, lifted me up. You remember that? Here it is, the one with the seventh seal. The thing that I've wondered all my life. Amen. The other seals meant a lot to me, of course, but you don't know what this has meant. For one time in my life, I prayed, I cried to God after that Phoenix meeting. Any of the people there with me know I laid at the mountain. One morning got went to Sabina Canyon, great rugged high mountain. I went up there in a little foot trail after you lead off, up to Mount Lemon, which is a 30-mile walk. And there's about 30 foot of snow up there. There's a lot of snow up there. It's one of the best places in Arizona. So up in that mountain real early that before day, going up through that little foot trail, rolling rocks along, I felt led to turn this way. I turned and went up into some great jagged rocks, hundreds of feet high. I knelt down between those rocks. I laid down this Bible. I laid down this Bible and laid down this book, this little tablet. I said, oh, Lord, what does this vision mean? Now listen, Brother Branham always crying to God, what about me? What about the ministry? Is this of God? Is it of the devil? What is it? I'm confused. I've got to have something definitive. Now, you read Brother Branham, many times you heard him say he was going to go out and he just got to find the answer, got to find the answer, got to find, just crying, got to have answer, got to have answers. Remember? Come on, go back and hear the tapes. You're going to hear his voice in there, very pathetic. Lord, does it mean my dying? You remember I thought it might mean my death because something exploded till it shook me to pieces. Gene Norman will tell you about that. You remember, you heard it, sure. And I thought it could mean my death. And I said, was it, Lord? What does it mean? Does it mean I'm going to die? If it is, all right, I won't tell my family. Just let me go. My work's finished. Now, what was it? He sent a witness back. You remember me telling you. But it wasn't that. It was a furtherment of my work. And he knew he couldn't die because Joseph was there. And Joseph would have been blown higher in a kite. Oh, do you see it sitting up there in Sabina Canyon? Heavenly Father knows it's just as true as you have seen the other things come to pass. Those angels came right down and vindicated every message to be the same. Then you know whether it comes from God or not. It was foretold you by a vision. I couldn't tell you until the service was over because I was forbidden to. So what's he telling you? Under the seventh seal, he couldn't talk. He kept it to himself. Now he can go ahead and tell you. No matter what the devil does then, it doesn't matter because here it's vindicated. The woman now has a seed in her mind that makes her pregnant to God, and no other seed will come in. She's got a mindset.
Amen.
See? Oh, yeah. Do you see it sitting up there in Sabina Canyon? Heavenly Father knows, just true, it came to pass. All right, now, in Sabina Canyon, sitting up there that morning, I had my hands up, the wind had blown my old black hat down. I was standing there with my hands up praying. I said, Lord God, what does this mean? I can't understand it, Lord. What am I to do? If it's my going home, let me go up where they'll never find me. I don't want anybody to be mourning around if I'm going. I just want the family to think I just took a walk and they won't find me. Good old Enoch, see? Let me, Elijah, hide me away somewhere if I'm going to go away. Just let me go. Maybe Joseph find my Bible laying here someday and let him use it. See, if I'm going away, let me go, Lord. I had my hands on all of once something hit my hand, I didn't know. I can't say, did I go to sleep? I don't know. Did I have a trance? I don't know. Was it a vision? I can't tell you. The only thing I can say is from what? Just the same thing like those angels were. And it struck my hand, and I looked, it was a sword. And it had pearl handles, real pretty, and it had a guard over it with gold. And the blade looked like something like chrome, like silver, and it was real shiny. And it was so feather-edged, sharp, oh my, and I thought it was the prettiest thing. Just fit my hand, I thought, that's awful pretty. And I said, hey, I'm always afraid of those things, the sword. And I thought, what will I do with that? Just then a voice shook down through there from the rocks and said, it's the sword of the king. And I came out of it, the sword of the king. Now, if it had said the sword of a king, but it said the sword of the king, and there's only one the king, and that's God, and he has one sword, that's his word, what I live by, so help me, God, bring on his holy vesture with the holy word lying there. Oh, God in heaven, can't you see a man's prophesying? What's a sword got to do with a dress? The word of God to dress a bride. Third pull. I don't know what people are worried about. Holy mackerel. I love this. You've heard me say it many of the sword of the king. And that's his word. Bring on his holy vesture with the holy word of God laying there. In other words, that Bible laying there. Sword in his hands. I've taken it from the word. Put the life in your hand now. And cursed be the swordsman whose sword doesn't draw blood. Right. That's the scripture. Oh, be sweet, Brother Bill. I'll be sweet, all right. I feel real sweet right now. And I'm not vengeance-minded. This is the truth. It's the word, amen. Oh, what a day we're living in. What a great thing. See the mystery, the secret, the third. Third what? We would have said, pull with me. Standing there when this left me, something just came to me and said, don't fear. Now, I didn't hear any voice like on the inside of me spoke. I just tell you the truth. Just exactly what happened. Something said, don't fear. This is that third pull. And the last time I saw Brother Branham, he had no fear whatsoever. I could see on his face, didn't know what it was, but he told me, this is the third pull. Let me see, God has not given us a spirit of fear. No. No, sir, but of courage. Sound mind. Can't get it outside the Holy Ghost. The third pull, you remember? You've had so many impersonations on this. What you tried to explain. Now, this is what the voice says. You've had so many impersonators on this. What you tried to explain. Don't even try this. You remember it? How many remember that vision? Now that it's out, anybody can say, I'm here to dress a bride. I'm here, you follow me. Ha! You know, I'm not a brave person. I could be like Galileo if I think, I don't know, but by the grace of God, I wouldn't be. Something, God's got, he's bigger than that. When the Pope told Galileo, if you keep on preaching, you know, the world's round and everything else, he said, we're just going to go ahead and take your head off. And you tell us that this earth is circling around about the sun, you're a dead man. Because the earth isn't round, it's not doing it. So Galileo said, you're right, it's not doing it. And he walked away under his breath. He said, but it's doing it just the same. What am I supposed to do? You cannot boast until you take your armor off, my brother, sister. But by the grace of God, there's something bigger than we are. Oh, yes. Do you remember it? How many remembers that vision? Why, it's all over tapes and everywhere. Been about 6 years ago, 7 years ago. 7 years ago said, don't try to explain that. This is the third pole, but I'll meet you in there. Is that right? Don't try. I was standing a little boy with a baby shoes when he told me. Now you make your first pole. When you do this, the fish run after the lure. Said, then watch your second pole, because there'll only be small fish. Then the third pole will get it. And all the ministers around said, Brother Branham, you can do it. Hallelujah, Brother Branham. That's where I always get tied up with a bunch of preachers. I love people. And they want you to explain everything. Explain this and explain that. You see, this is the thing about revelation. You don't need it explained. You just believe it. And I said, well, I don't know. I said, I understand fishing. Now the first thing you do, here's the way it's done. You see all the fish around. You just got to jerk the lure. That's exactly the tactics of fishing. So I said, jerk the lure. Now when I jerk the lure the first time, little fish take out after. They were little ones. And that's what they were catching. Then I said, then you set. And I jerked it on bank and I had a fish, but it looked like a skin over the lure. So little. And I was standing there and something said, I told you not to do that. And I started crying. All the line was tangled around me like this. In other words, Brother Branham's ministry began to go down the drain. He said to me one time, it's been like so-and-so, make my true ministry, keep my true ministry from coming out. And I used to doubt that until one day I read in Scripture, and I knew it was there all the time. Jesus could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief, showing that you can hinder the true ministry coming out, even though it will eventually reach those it's supposed to reach. But men like this throw the glory of God back in God's face? Yeah. What'd it be like if you turned down this living word? It's up to you. Do what you want. Crying, oh God, forgive me. I'm a stupid person. Lord, forgive me. And I had this line and that. What I had in my hand was a little baby shoe about that long. I suppose, you know, a few inches. And I had that string about as big around as my finger, half an inch like. And the eyelet of this shoe was about the 1/16th of an inch probably. Like an eyelet is. And I was trying to lace this little shoe up with a great big inch cord or whatever it was. And a voice came and said, you can't teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. Can't teach them the doctrine, the supernatural things. So you can't do it. Why? Because they run after it. That's why we don't run after all these signs and wonders, because we've had them. If they're going to come out of the Word, praise God, we want them. We've seen it here in this building, healings like I couldn't even believe for. I could have people stand on their feet right now that had absolute 100% miracles that nobody did but God. I'm not lying. I can call them by name. You want to call them by name? I can go one here, blow your mind. See? But we don't run after it. You know it's there. Now let them alone, he said. Why? Because like Ephraim, they've gone, they've joined to their idols. Demas Shakarin, the big shot for Pentecost. He's the great big gazuba. Oh, yeah, he's Dr. John Bertolucci, the priest. He's made him a prophet. Turned down Brother Branham flat, but made a Catholic priest a prophet. Now this Catholic prophet's going to make him a great saint, take him to Rome, and hallelujah, Brother Demas, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm irreverent, kiddo, so don't start thinking too much other than I'm irreverent. I didn't say I'm irreverent. I'm that too by what they call me, but I'm irreverent when it comes to that crap. Call it what it is. Let him alone. Just then he picked me up. Oh, ho! Pick up, notice. He took me up and sat me way up there where a meeting was going on. Looked like a little tender cathedral of some sort. And I looked, there was a little box-like place over on the side. And I saw that light was talking to somebody above me. And that light you see there on the platform, it whirled away from me like that. Went over the tent and said, I'll meet you in there. And this is the third pole and you won't tell it to anybody. Until when? After the third pole comes. Into manifestation, then you explain and tell them. Now listen, everything was leading up in this man's ministry of vindication to this. No different from Moses and no different from Paul. This is the way God does it. But, oh, hallelujah, I got the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah, yeah, you can meet him. If it had been you, you'd have said, oh, yeah, yeah, this is how God does it. But it wasn't you, so therefore it's not how God does it. You talk about a lousy, stinking hypocrite, spirit of hell. If you got it, I'm going to just salt you down where you belong. Say, hey, I wouldn't even sit with you and shake your hand, take communion, foot washing, and eat with you. Forget it. You go where the spiritual harlots and daughters are, the whoremongers, the preacher, pimps, and the rest of it. That's where you belong. You don't belong here at the table of God. Let's hit that plant. I'm not just preaching tough, it's the truth. Don't be a sham in this message. Be ashamed, maybe, but don't be a sham. See, now, and then Sabina Canyon. Now, notice the same thing in the catching up and the 10th vision. This is in the Sabina Canyon, this is the third pole. And there's three great things that goes with it. And one unfolded yesterday, and the other one unfolded today, and there's one thing I cannot interpret because it's an unknown language. And as I stood right there to look straight at it, and this is the third pole coming up in the Holy Spirit of God. Oh my, that's the reason all heaven was silent. It was silent perfectly what? Because of what it had to dwell on this which has taken place in our day, which was hidden until this moment. Now remember, everything is after the fact, unless you're a prophet. And it's after the fact to you because, first of all, there's got to be vindication to you. Then when you bring it to the people, it's after the fact. Then the explanation comes. God has a perfect method laid out. People don't want it. Now I better stop right here. See, I just feel checked not to see anymore. So just remember the seventh seal. The reason is not open. The reason he did not reveal it. Well, no one should know about it. I want you to... Well, what's he talking about now? That time. 2,000 years ago. But today is different. Every mystery to be made known. Oh, well, what it is this. Every mystery to be made known, but there's a big silence of what it is. No mystery is made known, and you just pretend it is made known and say, Lord, thank you, I've had it made known. Huh? You just went to bed dying of famine, and you had a dream that you're full. You see how you cannot take what people are trying to tell you about the seventh seal. Hey, merciful God, it can't be opened and unopened. What's this man trying to tell us? Well, if he's just a guy to confuse you, I got news for you. You're crazy. You just want to be confused, that's all. That's all. People are just so afraid of the truth and so afraid of simplicity, they just want something else. Oh, you want something else? You know, beans and brown rice make a perfect protein. Now, if you really believe that, you just go on brown rice and beans and save yourself all your money and have a good time on things. Oh, it's too simple. I got to have puff paste and whipped cream and, you know, and frog legs and butterfly tongues and... I've got to pretend I'm Nero, you know. Understand. Oh, I do understand. But for us, I don't understand. See, that's he said this is the third pole. I better stop right here. Now watch. I just feel checked not to say any more about it. See, but just remember the seventh seal, the reason it was not open, the reason he did not reveal it, no one should know about it, was that a fact. 2,000 years back. I want you to know before I even knew a word about that, that that vision came years ago. You remember that? And here it is, just as this other has, slides right into the word exactly where it was. Now he's telling you these visions that he told us slid into it. And we still know nothing. I knew nothing. I heard nothing. I saw nothing. Oh. Revelation. That's like the woman. She read in the scripture one day. In such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And she phoned her preacher. Oh, I'm excited. She said, that's such a wonderful day. I just read in Scripture where it said, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And I've been trying all day long not to think. Is that it? You cannot be definitive and have that attitude about the prophet when the question was asked, what is the seventh seal? He said it's Revelation 10, 1 through 7. So he's a liar here, then he's a liar there. You can't have your cake and eat it. Brother Branham himself said there's got to be an absolute. What is an absolute? Confusion. Absolute confusion. Is that what you want? So listen. Not to leave here, but the prophet said. Sit into the word. What vision? 10 vision. He's talking about it. The little kids with the cart. The booties. Third pole. 1, 2, 3. And he talks about birds. He talks about signs. Hand. Reading the heart. Word. Little birds. Doves. Angels. What do you want? I don't know. What's the message all about? The one that came with him. The presence. Slides in the word right where it was. And God knows my heart. I never one time thought of such a thing as that. And here it was. It's there in anything. Oh my, it just shows it's from God. Foresee, it fits exactly with the promises of God for the end of the message. What message? His message. Now notice, for the time, for the end of time message, this seal. After all, he revealed all six seals, but it doesn't say a thing about the seventh. It doesn't in the Bible. There's nothing said. Then if he's going to know what is there, somebody's got to tell him. And he better be vindicated so he can tell us right. Even Dr. Bloomfield understood this, and he said somebody someday has got to reveal those thunders. But dear old Daddy Bloomfield's dead, so that takes care of that. We don't know. The Pentecostal fundamentals don't need guys like him around. He'd be a thorn in their flesh. Oh, yeah. See, we'll be out now at the end time seal when it starts. When it starts, will be absolutely a total secret according to the Bible. But what about when it's over? And the time it starts to its progression. Well, it couldn't be a secret then. Remember Revelation 10, 1 to 7. 10th chapter, 1 to 7. At the end of the seventh angel's message, all the mysteries of God should be known. We're at the end time, the opening of the seventh seal. He tells you right there, Revelation 10, 1 to 7 is the seventh seal. We didn't catch it till he told us flat. Say, hey, this is a watch I'm wearing. Well, I didn't know it was a watch, Brother Bailey told me. Well, that's fine. No problem. Now you got smarts. You know what it's about. Now, how did I know the other day, last Sunday, a week ago today, when I was preaching on Be Humble, Be Humble? Remember, God deals in little things. I didn't realize what I was really talking about. Now I see it. It's in such a humble way. We would think that such a something like this would happen to be revealed to the Vatican. But it comes just like John the Baptist. It comes like the birth of our Lord in a stable. Glory to God, so help me. The hour's at hand. We're here, oh my. We're here what? He's talking the seventh seal. He's not talking about, you know what? Something way back in the book of Exodus. Do you see it? The truth of God's vision, the seven angels bringing me west. Now, you've got to pin that down. They were coming from the west, coming back east, bringing me here for this message tonight. See? Because all the rest were in the past. Now the voice of that great thunder, the mission that was brought here, has been revealed and proven it was of God. Now, just think now, I knew not these seals, and they've been revealed this week. Did anybody think of that? Those seven angels being, this being the message that was coming forth, those angels bringing me back here for that. Now remember, the seven messengers, the one noted to me, the seventh angel, it seemed more to me than any. Now see, they were standing like this. I was standing here, and I was watching those others, see, one first, Little bunch of birds, feathers all beat down. You remember them? They flew eastward. Second bunch, bigger birds, looked like dove pointed wings. They flew eastward. First pull, second pull. The next then was angel. What was that? That was the third pull. And what did they bring? The Word. What was in there? The Word. So what's the climax of this man's ministry? The Word. What's he going to dress the bride with? The Word. Remember the wedding supper. Friend, what are you doing here? You don't have a garment on. Brother Branham let the people know. They come right and sit in his services and walk out without the garment. I was standing right there in this explosion left. I was looking this way toward the west, and they came, just picked me up, and I went plumb out of my knowing. And one of them coming was like, looked so strange to me, was the one on my left, where I entered the constellation. But counting from the left to the right, it'd be the seventh angel, see, coming across. Now remember the seven messengers. You remember the pyramid of White Rock of Junior Jackson's dream that I interpreted to you? Notice, the night that I left, there were six dreams came, every one of them directed to the same thing. Then the vision started and sent me west. Junior, he was watching. Now notice, look how perfect. Now I'm hoping and trusting that you people realize I'm trying to put this grace on Jesus Christ, who's the author of it all, and the only reason you heard me talk this way is the hour is approaching. That's all I'm going to read right now, because he goes into other things that I don't think too pertinent. How many minutes we got left? How many? 10 minutes. All right, now notice in here. We might not get this finished. He says here, I found within the message today there appears to be a split in some of the fundamental teaching. Most in particular the fact that some feel 1963 marked the dispensational change which precipitated the coming of Prussia of the Lord. That's not true. What 1963 was, Revelation 22 and 10. And it's not so much a dispensation, it's a winding up of all the mysteries and those things which started under the seventh seal bat in the Garden of Eden. Adam could not go to the tree of life and live forever. Revelation 22 and 10. And he said, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, unjust still, filthy, filthy still, righteous, righteous still, holy, holy still, behold, I come quickly. So therefore he's coming quickly at this particular time when the Word divides the people from the non-word. Matthew 24, into those that now are in the rapture of Luke 17. So therefore, this is not something concerning the Prussia. He's already here. He came in 1933. But he never set himself the head of the church until the church was set in order by the Word, coming more and more into the church. No problems, just the same as you're going from Israel. If they'd have gone on and on, the king that was in the God that was in the holy temple that left the tabernacle would have been right there to go to the millennium and right to the new Jerusalem. The coming God, the becoming God, moving on, moving on. Well, I'm going to stop here because, hey, I'm going to go into this tomorrow because I won't give this boy a fair answer to cutting it down to 10 minutes. We're going to let it go. So, all right. Foot washing and communion. Back here in the office, there's going to be 7 chairs which will take care of 14 brothers. Out there, there's about, how many chairs? 18 chairs. That takes care of 36. That takes care of 50 people. So what I'm going to do here, I'm going to stand here, and the line that comes here, the men, they'll go in up here until I hit number 14. I very conveniently made these 14 little squares of paper. And when I get to 14, there's nobody else goes in there. The rest of the men go out there then. The ladies go in and have the foot washing to make it more convenient. And we'll have things more and more convenient as the Lord helps us. Now, I trust you got some good out of the service at this particular point. And tomorrow we'll go into more of it and try to finish up maybe a last little question and see where we go. The second question is also very involved in detail because he makes them not a mistake, but he misunderstands how it is that you cannot take a certain thought from Brother Branham and dislocate it for a meaning that is not contingent to the rest. And you do the same with Scripture. And so we can take what he's interested in from Brother Branham to the Scripture and see what it says. Now, with foot washing and communion, let's bow our heads in prayer because we'll close this tape off because these other tapes don't go out. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you now for giving us help tonight. We believe, Lord, you really did help us. Not to declare ourselves or something we think we believe, but yet, Lord, that could be true also. But we believe that we're seeing what the prophet said and bringing it to the place where he brought it, knowing, Lord, that there was much more after that even, because he did put some of those mysteries, and they were had to be cleared up at the end, even the very fact of explaining the perfection of it in the rapture tape, which, Lord, we know he previously called the circumstances or events of the rapture. And so, Father, we thank you that we're standing tonight in this place here. We're solely, wholly trusting you, that whatever is requisite, needed, you are the one who will supply it. And God, by your grace, we will receive it. If our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we are of the wise virgin. We know positively we shall be called out, that we are called out. We are being dressed by this Word of God. We are being separated and brought into the realm of the rapture. These are the things, Lord, that we believe are in here, and we thank you for it. And we know, Lord, whatever is vital and necessary for us, you will never let yourself down. And that means we will never be let down, because you stand behind your Word to perform it, and there is a Word in us that must be completed. So, hallelujah, Lord, we lay it all back on you, and we thank you that we can lay it on you, and you are wonderful and glorious, and may we come more and more to that particular understanding and position until, Lord, you're glorified in us and through us, and we in you, until both of our hearts are satisfied. Oh, God, that's the one prayer that you know is in my heart, and I believe in the hearts of all sincere people. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to have foot washing in communion. And I want to just see now, where am I at? Yeah, I'm over here somewhere in the book of Corinthians. And it's in the fifth chapter where Paul has found that the people are allowing gross immorality. Now remember, we spoke on this before. Your brother Branham said, and it's in the conduct book, I forget just where it all is, but he speaks of gross immorality so that people cannot be given the communion. But he also speaks of correcting people through the process of faith and prayer. But he did lay it down where something would have to be done if certain other things were being done which were in direct conflict to the well-being of the body of Christ, and he put it in this fifth chapter, as I understand it. It's commonly reported there is fornication among you, and such fornication not so much in name among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Now this would be incest if that was his mother. It would be adultery on her part, but fornication on his part, as we understand that. And so therefore this was perhaps a younger son, father of a very old man, or much older than this woman desired, so he was using her and she was using him. Now notice, you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you. Now that's a misunderstanding of eternal security and of church order, and of also what God does, as though you and I didn't have a hand in it, and there wasn't something that you and I are to do. Now many times I say I follow Brother Branham, and I say, now look, all I do is preach the Word and stand back and watch it. But believe me, if I found out that anyone here was going into gross immorality along this particular line, I've said before and I say it again, something would have to be done. It would have to be brought to the attention of deacons, and they would have to deal with it. The people would have to straighten up, or they would be brought before the church and asked never to come back. And they would want to fool around, they'd be turned over to the devil, turned out of the church. Because, you see, that's what Paul said. Under sanctuary, the blood in the church. Brother Branham didn't make that up. That's the Bible. See? Now watch, for I verily as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus. You see, the man doesn't go to hell, but he gets corrected. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not a little leaven will leaven the whole lump? In other words, if you go off here, all of you are going to get in trouble. Why? Because you see, right off the bat, idolatry has come within the church. Paul tells me, he said, you're split seven different ways. They've already got into idolatry, organized little spheres of influence, everything else. And now they're showing their idolatry by doing what idolaters would do. See? Oh, I've told you, always the first thing people do get off the Word, they start lying. The sex one is sex. And if they never were in the Word, they'll lie and they'll have sex. And what's going on today is AIDS. That's why we've taken such a strong stand in this church. Something is, hey, look, we're not against anybody. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm not going to sit at meal with anybody that goes out and gets AIDS and comes around me. So, Brother Bill, God's going to protect you. Not if I don't take issue with that thing. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. You give up here, you give up there. Yeah. Well, bless God, that's my child. You're right, it's your child. Sure isn't God's child. Something's wrong somewhere. Look, you're not bringing up angels. I hope to God that he comes before tomorrow before everything goes to pot. I'm not alarmist. I think I'm quite pragmatic and realist. You got the scripture here. Hey, you don't do these things. People get offended when you say, hey, you should do something about your family. Well, if you don't, God will. He'll step in after the devil has his way. The church must start with the major problem that started in the Garden of Eden. And remember, Adam was not the wild guy. Eve was the wild woman. I'm not running down anybody. I'm just going to the Bible. I don't think I condemn women ever. I'm not a woman condemner, a woman hater. But I'm sure going to stick with the Bible. And that doesn't make me a male chauvinistic pig. That's just the word of God. If I'm a male chauvinistic pig, then God's a male chauvinistic pig. There's something wrong somewhere. That's if you've got this female spirit of God stuff. Gnosticism, idolatry. Can you believe that, what I'm telling you tonight? Or it's just, hey, hello, you know. Well, Brother Bill, let's keep eating our porridge. It was good this morning. It's good tonight. That's a whore that brings in her customers. And like a woman eating a piece of bread, wipe your lips, you know. So that's part of life. We're not like that, beloved. Living streams are not flowing to us and through us. There's something wrong. We're living in a treacherous, treacherous day. Treacherous day. Treacherous day. People didn't even know that the prophet came and the word came and the bride is separated and it's all going on and going to go off. They don't even know they got AIDS. No blood tests. And suddenly you're dying with the same thing. You don't even know it. And knoweth not. Now I know it's going over your heads and hearts. I'm not blaming you. I'm not blaming you. We'll pay a price though. You watch. These people here, they just didn't bother them any. Didn't bother the parents. Didn't bother the boy. Didn't bother the church. What kind of church was it? Gee. You know, it's funny. In my day, and I'm no paragon of virtues. I've told you many a time, my sins were all crappy, cruddy little things. Not some good big ones. They were worth a plug nickel. But as a kid, I desperately wanted someone to tell me what was right. I didn't, but God kept me. It's paid off. There were times I wondered why I wasn't like the rest, but I'm sure glad I wasn't. But that doesn't put a feather in my cap. That's only because God did it. But you see, I wanted something. Now, you got to want some of these things if they're going to be in your lives. That's all there is to it. And he's saying, your glorying is not good. Know ye not a little leaven? Leaven's the whole lump. You're always going to go down the drain. Purge out therefore the old leaven. That's at their idolatry. That you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover sacrificed for us. Now you can't eat the Passover with leaven. Can't have with idolatry and all these wicked things there. Therefore let us keep the fast not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the leaven of bread of sincerity and truth. Now, I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world. But I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man is called a brother, fornicator, or coveter, idolater, railer, drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one not to eat. Now, see, This is what Brother Branham was talking about. There has to come a time at the table of the Lord that the church straightens up. For what have I to judge them that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? Now he said, you put them out. Then he said, Satan takes them over. See, and then God judges them that are without. God judges. So therefore God judges them. He said, therefore put away that wicked one from among your, therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Now that's what he said there. Now I'm going to Corinthians 11 chapter. Now it says here concerning the cup and the emblem of the broken body, the bread and the wine. He said, verse 27, wherefore who shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the word and worthy shall be guilty of the blood, the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthy, eateth and drinketh condemnation, self-judgment, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, many sleep. Now what does that tell you? It says the same thing over here. See, that's the same thing Brother Branham ran into. That little woman that couldn't live the light. God cleaned her up and took her out of the way. And then he said, well, Lord, you healed her. Why is this? Why is this? And God said, because the church didn't do a thing about it. She wouldn't live the life. Now, there is a life to be lived, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. We go into another sermon Brother Branham talks about, the life that is not hypocritical, the life that's not something put on. It's a genuine life from the Word of God, because that's the life he's about. Now, when that genuine life is there, and it's in the church, there is a distinct pulling away from these carnal things that are absolutely detrimental to the destruction of the true fellowship and the life that's in the body of the church. That's why it tells you right here, to judge yourself when you take the Lord's Supper. Now that precludes the judgment of the people. But if there are those who continually will take of this table, and they do not judge themselves, so they put their houses in order, and the people in the church know it, there comes a time when they must refrain and be told. As simple as ABC. Say, hey, don't you know that that's highly detrimental? Now what you're doing can stop people from being healed, can stop people from getting help, because your leaven can leaven the whole lump. In other words, we can become diseased also. So therefore, it's up to the church to have standards that are high. And whether I or Bob Ride heard on you doesn't mean anything. It's, hey, do you believe this word? And when it's preached, what are you going to do about it? See, so many people don't want to do anything about it. They don't realize that when God Almighty applied the token that Brother Branham spoke about back there in the book of Exodus, it was a family affair. It was a family affair. And it had to do with the firstborn, which means a perpetuation of life. So if you want perpetuation of life, we want God in our midst and God dealing with us, then we must do what the Bible said. We must begin to line our lives up. I find that very important. I thought standing here is, well, Evil's got his life lined up and he's flawless, his language is perfect, and his heart is perfect. Hey, listen, for what I know, what I do, I'm the worst of the worst. I've always said I'm a little man on the totem pole when it comes to my preacher friends. But God have me, I would never do some of those things those guys didn't say. Well, now you're self-righteous. No, I'm not. What have I asked for money? When have I tempted you? When have I done one thing that these guys are doing out there, calling themselves servants of God, believe this message? You can't put your finger on it. I'll give you every cent back if you want to. Sell everything you got, you can have it. You don't fool with me on these things. See? I got my problems, you bet I have. And I know that nobody ever lived the word or ever will live the word. Only Jesus alone ever lived it. But we believe it. And with the believing, there is a constant sanctification. That's why there's further sanctification, even the millennium. You'll think different there and do different. Huh? And when you leave it, you'll go higher. And what happens? You'll think different and do different again. Well, come on. I'm not aiming at some type of perfection you and I come to. My God, we'd have to shoot each other and then... We're not talking about that. We're talking about progressively moving on. Progressively. So here's where we have the foot washing communion. Now, Brother Branham said about foot washing communion, he said in this end time, which is very true, brotherly love I beg your pardon, brotherly kindness, not brotherly love. That's an error. Brotherly kindness is the virtue of this hour as the capstone descends to us. Now, in the light of the love of God, which is God, the God of love, and not the love of God, but the God of love, we are sticky. We're edgy. We take a front with people. Yeah, we sure do. But he said, if something happens to that brother you've had foot washing and communion with, or that sister, right away, you're sorry that there was ever a difference. And you pray and you want to see that things are going well for that person. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I believe there are people here who look out for other people. Maybe I'll close my eyes while I talk, so I won't look at anybody. No, I won't. But I know for a fact there are those who look out for people here, and there are those who don't really care to look out for anybody. You think of yourselves too much. You don't realize that if you start pulling a load, you are sowing. When you reap, that's all you get. See, why do you think I keep sowing and sowing? It's like get. You say, Brother Bale, that's not a right attitude. You must be nuts. The Bible told me different. I don't believe you, I believe the Bible. Sow your kindness, your goodness in those things. Don't keep looking always for somebody to do something. One day they'll do something or they'll cut your hand off. You know why? God will do it because, hey, brotherly kindness means just what it says. Be kind to your brethren, the household of faith. Look to begin to do good in him. And don't double-cross people. If people are good, don't take advantage. Yeah. No, you don't give away everything you got. That's ridiculous. But I can tell you, it is unscriptural not to come to the place where you have all sufficiency for all things, because that's the Bible. Well, you say, Brother Bill, didn't Jesus say you have the poor with you always? One scripture does not cancel out the other scripture. And I'm not preaching the gospel of prosperity, which is bunk and junk and abomination. I am just telling you what the Apostle Paul said. And I'm telling you it works. You can do it. So all of these things mean, look, we take communion, we wash feet. It means we have each other. We are each other. We are not some group down the street. We are a group here. People come hundreds of miles to be with us. That ought to tell you something. Many times people come and they say, Brother Vail, we've never been in the church like that amongst your people. You know, that's the highest compliment anybody can ever tell me. That's right. Open, loving, and kind. Sharing. Some of those people have been around the world. Don't spoil a good record. If we come together tonight, let's do it knowing that we're in this together. Giving, forgiving, loving, doing what we can, knowing when one suffers, all suffer. When one rejoices, all rejoice. As one believes for the Word of God to come in Revelation, one can believe for the same Word of God to come forth in manifestation of what is required amongst us, and a lot of that's divine healing. Old age doesn't have a thing to do with it. Nothing has a thing to do with it as long as you're repentant, standing on the Word. You can be healed coming through the line. But all of these good things are here tonight, and we just take part and say this is emblematic of what He gave, what He stands for. We've entered into the same Spirit, the same life, and we will stand with Him and by His grace follow Him and do the same thing. That's it. And He that is greatest of all is servant to all. So that's what we're looking at tonight. Let's rise in at this particular time. The brethren come forward. And remember, as the brethren come, 14 come in here and the rest of the brethren go out there. I'll be sure to try to help you. And you know how to come and how to go. We have two sides for the people to come on, two sides for the wine, and one man, brother, stands here. Brother Dave, you going to do that? You taking care of the Brent? No. Which? You are. Okay. That brother will be standing down here to give you the bread, and as soon as you come through, you can go on both sides for the wine, because that takes the longest. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we now consecrate ourselves, and would, Lord, somehow examine ourselves, and not just very superficially, but in the light of the Word, when we stand with You, and then how we stand in the strength You give us to manifest that light, Lord. We know there could be a great disparity. We're not looking at that, Lord. Tonight we're looking at the fact that You forgive us as the great High Priest. You help us and strengthen us to whatever we need to do, Lord, to be kinder, more forgiving, more selfless, whatever it takes. May we be those, Lord, that stand there. And as Brother Branham said so beautifully one time, if this fellow won't do it, you go ahead and do it. You be the one. Not vying, not trying to take anybody's crown, but simply filling a place of the body, which we know, Lord, as people who get sick, it's so good to have a healthy body and get some help. May all our people here tonight, Lord, wish to contribute to and will contribute to the health of this body by standing, Lord, with Your Word and in Your Word and through Your Word and Your Word in and through us. Even as You said in the end time, we'd be one with You and You'd be one to us, and we know that You're in the Father, we're in the Father, we're all together in this at this end time. And that's good enough for us, Lord. It should certainly be more than good enough to keep us walking in the light that's been given us in this hour. So consecrate we tonight, Lord, these emblems. The emblems, Your broken body, the shed blood, the life returning upon us. To stand forth in this darkened world as children of God, children of light. Let it be done, Lord. Let it be amongst us. Let it be all of us as a body. Help those that need to repent and those that need to straighten their lives up, Lord, to do it tonight. To realize there are things that's going to cost them something, but a whole lot more if they don't pay a price now. Help them to understand, Lord, that that's what we're talking about. Not trying to take anything from anybody, but trying to preserve them body, soul, and spirit unto the coming of the Lord. Grant this tonight, O God, in our hearts and minds to receive it and to have that attitude, Lord, because that's what we know we have to have, that spirit, that nature. And we'll certainly have a marvelous time tonight of going forward in further sanctification. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The brethren serve the brethren here.